You know, like I spoke to Zaki before. I met him in person in Hong Kong, and then I did the interview with him, and it was like very nice, right? Like I was like, okay, I'm getting on good terms. But then the Atom Accelerator DAO, this little grant program they made, they decided to give like 100K to bootstrap the Cosmos Minions Lottery, which was like for the Dead Chain. And I think I messaged him something like, what the fuck is that? And I got muted and unfollowed. That's it. That's how like things happen in Cosmos, right? So I do think this actually like a lot of these founders, and this is how they were born, right? So maybe I don't blame them. This is the people who never read probably book, who never seen good movie. Probably the one movie that they went were probably like Avengers with people sometimes and haven't seen much in time, in life. What I was aiming at. Shit, I'm losing the grip sometimes when I'm.
You're losing this. You're so upset about these people that you don't even know what the plot is anymore.
He's falling back down inside a trauma loop.
I can see this.
When he's talking about it, his face becomes ugly, and his forehead gets lined again, and his voice becomes stressed, and he can feel like almost like a python's choking on his neck.
I better dip in bowl full of ice to you know, tender my to harden my face. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to seem like it's the envy. But over time, I think you get like upset, but not upset at them. So you don't get upset at the people, but you get upset at how people can be this way. How is it possible for people to be that empty? Not thoughtful, and they quite often wonder, like, you know. So I give you an example of like not support of them to either your validator or like mine or so on, and supportive other. But then they go on the Twitter, and I would say, how we fix the culture thing in Cosmos? We need to fix it, right? And they are like, yeah, let's do that. But then when you offer them actually. There is the fix. You need to like change a little bit, and you start to appreciate the things with soul. So they would tweet that, but they don't understand that. They don't understand what they aiming at, right? For them, the culture, the CETO is actually peak of the culture they experience in their life. I actually, when this jingle plays, you know, they have family dinner, all of them clapping and dancing to that jingle. That's the entertainment for them. I hope it didn't sound too envious. So I'm gonna massage. Go to Chinese men to massage my scalp to ease the tension.
Maybe a Chinese man with nice big thumbs.
Is my mic good?
Hey, Peter. Yeah, how are you, Peter?
Oh, good, and you?
Good. What are you up to?
Oh, not much. I was just thinking. Haven't really looked into it. Do we know of any strictly legal, of course, markets? Using Zeph, it's a little early, but
You mean like decentralized ones?
You know, those markets that are a little more difficult, out of reach to access.
Oh yeah, you can get to TradeOger, Mexi. There's one called like No KYC. There's another one that's like ZegEx, which is XEGGEX. There's like a variety of them. Yeah, it's not a problem reaching.
Wasn't really talking crypto. I going straight out there. Illicit.
Oh, yeah, oh, you mean black market?
Yeah.
Yeah, like to pick up some missile launchers, like I was mentioning. Not that I'm aware of. I don't really know. Like, I think there may be some things in the Amazon rainforest that have been brewing, but outside of that, no.
Yeah.
What are you trying to acquire?
Personally, I'm just wondering when it's going to happen.
You can use like Pig Latin or something. You can use like Pig Latin or something to mask the.
Oh yeah, no, I was just thinking like the whole stablecoin integration seems like a no-brainer over Monero.
Oh, I thought you meant like aspirin. Like you could go to like Walgreens, like maybe CVS Pharmacy. They have aspirin. I mean, you don't want the authorities to find out about it, but yeah, they've got it.
Right.
you know, just keep it hush hush. Large quantities of aspirin can kill you. Do you know that, Peter? It can kill anybody.
If you crush them with it.
Take 50 grams yeah, and you'll get blue eyes, too.
Yeah, if you like drop a truck of aspirin on someone, it'll crush them in just the mass of the aspirin would be pretty.
Anybody.
Bad. Yeah, or if you strap it to a rocket and fire the aspirin at somebody at very high speed. That could be dangerous as well. Yeah, there's a lot of illicit aspirin out there. People are running black markets for aspirin, honestly, and it's probably has to stop.
Aspirin is the great equalizer. It don't care who you are, it can kill you.
Yep. But yeah, Peter, I'm not sure if there's any other big markets out there. Are you going to make one? I believe maybe in the next month or so, there's discussion about ZephyrPay coming out where you'll be able to attach that to a website pretty easily and accept payments for shit. I was thinking of maybe starting a website because I know where privacy is concerned. So let's say, for example, you build a website where you're selling little arts and crafts, those little, doily things with the little flowers. You're a man. You don't want anyone to find out about this. You could use your ZSD. And you can acquire small arts and crafts and things like that that otherwise would be, maybe people think you're, not so manly or maybe a little bit gay or something. So it depends. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. I hate going to the gas station and buying those little, the roses and the glass bulbs, you know?
Roses. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Wait, what glass bulbs?
Oh, one of the ones with it's a pipe and then there's the glass bulb at the end, and they'll put a rose inside. Yeah.
Oh, is that what those are for? They're for like plants.
Yeah. It's only for the plastic rose inside. There's no other use for the glass, device.
Oh. Yeah. So it's like a florist kind of, maybe give it to corsage or something with the little bowl.
Yeah, horticulturists love it.
Yeah. You're not doing like chemistry experiments in those things, are you?
What? No, no.
It's kind of chemistry.
I mean, I'm no gynecologist or anything, but I don't really know too much about how to make meth and stuff, but it sounds like you're going that direction.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have a
spiritual question for someone for Coach. Is that, are you guys taking spiritual questions yet?
Yeah, it doesn't require you don't need to. Yeah, as long as it doesn't involve any kind of methamphetamines or anything else like that, it's fine. Yeah.
No, it's not like that. Not today, at least. Probably not for a long time. So I have a spiritual question for Seffy and Coach and Grin and Slinks and Don Kryptonium. I don't really know Jay Gneft or Peter or Red Eye Bear or King Wobby can jump in too. All right, so December 7th.
Hey, what's going on? I see there's a pretty.
Hold on, wait a second. Wait, Wobby, wait. Hold on a second. You're going to have Wobby give you spiritual advice, Robin.
Oh, everyone shut the fuck up. Proceed, Robin.
I just, as soon as I said King Wobby, I was like, wait, no, I shouldn't say that right yet. But all right, so December 7th, I've been on the grind. I've been working pretty hard, waking up early, talking. My throat is a little bit. I've been eating honey and drinking tea. So far, it's going pretty well. And then December 7th is when my business shuts down for 3 weeks. And then January 1st when it starts up again. So I'm not going to be doing anything for 3 weeks. So my inclination is to be all in on everything crypto and digital for 3 weeks. That's the first thing I thought of. I'm going to have so much time to do fun things. And I want to just do that. Or do you think I should go and travel somewhere and... I don't know. If you had 3 weeks to do something, and you didn't really have any one thing holding you back for 3 weeks, what would you go do during December 7th to January 1st? In terms
how's
of like
the,
like
how's the money situation?
Pretty good. A lot of X's, a lot of O's. I mean, if Zeph pumps or Ox pumps, Jesus, that'd be great. Is that what you're kind of asking? Like, are you going to pump the Ox?
I'm saying if you want to go do things for 3 weeks, how much money can you blow?
Oh, man, you're not supposed to, I mean, it seems kind of like, not like,
hey, how
impactful,
else is he
right?
To tell you what to go do with your life if he doesn't know the budget that you have to work with? Come on.
Basic.
You know what you do, man?
Robin. Three, like,
Robin.
6X? 6X.
Robin, look, let me ask you a question. Have you thought about meditating or perhaps doing like a spiritual...
Fiat.
Perhaps doing like a spiritual chant? If you take a look up on the nest above, I put Jackie Chan's uncle. His name is Uncle. And before he does anything, you know, with his life that is pretty, you know, huge, like what you're going to do, he sets an altar and puts some essence candles. And then he says, "Yu mo gui gua fai zi sao, yu mo gui gui fai zi sao." And it basically, that chant repels any demonic and negative entity around you that's trying to deter you from following what you should do. And as a matter of fact, Coach Bruce actually taught Jackie Chan's uncle this specific chant. And it's up on the nest and it's featured across Jackie Chan's show, which is actually like a real life documentary. Isn't that right, Coach Bruce?
I don't know, but what is 6X? Do you mean 6K?
like six figures?
To blow on a vacation, that's where you're sitting and you're asking us for advice? Get the fuck out of here. What are you talking about?
If I, well, I think,
I mean, I know who I'm talking to, by the way. I'm talking to Seffy and Coach Bruce.
But do what all confused girls in the world do. They look up on the internet tarot readers in the local area. Go see a tarot reader the day you get off and have her read your cards and ask a question like, what should I focus on for the next 3 weeks? And when you pick a tarot reader, make sure they're maximally old, maximally like cozy, old woman looking, hopefully a little bit transcendent looking as well, and get a reading. Go do that on your first day and then have it determine the rest of your vacation.
Isn't Tara Reid like that girl that had the like bad boob job?
Like the bad, terrible, awful, multiple boob jobs?
Yeah. Why would she know
to change
about
career?
What to tell
a lot of people, a lot of people in Hollywood have a second career.
Well, I don't know. If you guys want to mess around, I'm trying to help a young lad.
Coach, I've never done a tarot reading card before.
Why it'll be fun. Book it.
It will be fun. I know exactly where to go too, because there's this highway that I would go down the highway, and every time you get off the highway, it's right there, and it's like my normal highway like off ramp, and it's always there. And there's nice cars there, which is strange. Like there's always like a nice car, not like a new car either, but like older cars that are well kept up. And then also like really nice cars, like EV nice cars, like Audi A7 or R7s. So it's like, why are there so many nice cars there?
Well, what I would do is I would book a tarot reading, as in a tarot card reading, for the day you get off. And then I would come and report it to us. And then if it feels right, I would do what they instruct you to do.
Okay, so I'm going to walk into the tarot card and they're going to like look at me. And is there going to be like a menu, or are they just going to like tell me how much it's going to cost?
I don't know, man. Just ask for a standard tarot card reading. Don't do the Seffy over analysis thing.
And don't get the happy finish.
Okay, well, I just wanted to know what the normal prices are. That's all I was asking.
Probably usually it's an old woman in a room and she charges you like $50. That's how it works.
Coach Bruce, can I ask you a question?
Wait, before you ask him a question, when was the last time you did a tarot card reading, Coach Bruce?
I did one like 2 months ago.
Anything to report back?
Yeah, it was quite interesting, actually. They told me I would start writing a book quite soon that's going to be like world famous. And they also said I would appear on TV to millions of people. It's quite interesting. I don't know. I don't think that's happened yet. It was quite interesting.
The last time I had someone read my palm, Bruce, the comment was, you know, you're going to be a great sort of cult-like religious leader. That was the last conversation of this type I've ever had. And then I didn't go to anyone ever again.
I would say you are in many ways. If you see religiosity as like a basic human need and you see what's actually happening in these spaces and what you're doing with Zeph and stuff, well, you are a religious leader. It's what you are.
I don't think Sefi's a religious leader. I don't think he is. I think he's more...
They don't look like they used to look. They don't look like suicide cults, and they don't look like evangelical Christian denominations. They don't look like anything like that. They look like a man who is able to interface with autistic people on the internet. He is the modern cult leader for the modern man who has changed significantly from what he used to be and is now overly online. Like, this is what it looks like. It's like if you imagine a prophet is born now, he's not going to look like Jesus or Muhammad or someone like that or the Buddha, you know, wandering around in a rag. He's going to engage with whatever world he finds himself in. He's probably going to be a shit poster.
Talking about crypto tokens and coins and things.
Well, I mean, he's going to find a way of integrating himself and teaching and sharing his light within the dark world of whatever modernity is. He won't look like how he used to look. And a cult leader also won't look like how he used to look. It will look like Sefi, the man who can guide the autist to eternal
wealth.
Do you believe that
the palm reader was foretelling the future or influencing who I became? That perhaps the message resonated with me and I remember this till now and I kept doing it.
I would say both. And I would say more than that having these readings is simply a fun way to live.
I mean, I'm going to go to one for sure just to see what it's like. And I hope it's as amazing as what they're saying to you. That'd be awesome.
The thing about it is you have to ask a question that is like open and directed towards whatever you need to know right now. So like, what should I focus on right now? How can I come to greater peace, you know, in the next few weeks? What is an area of my life that could do with healing or focus? Things like this, right? Where you can somehow mirrors what you are right now. It expresses it in a verbal way and gives you some kind of directed thing to focus on or do.
Wait, how does this person have any authority to say whatever they need to say about what I'm, about who I am?
The point is that if you have a reading and it resonates with your heart, then it can mean something to you and you can go forward with it. If it really just means nothing, then who cares? Move on. But I had the urge that you will hear something interesting. So I would do it because I'm usually right.
Coach Bruce, I'm going to go do it. I will report back. And I have one other. I actually want to hear what Grin was about to say something. And he was going to tell, he said something and I heard it. Graham, are you still there?
Yeah.
What would you think I should do for the next 3 weeks after December 7th, all the way up to January 1st?
I think tarot cards are like pagan and in front to God and God's true church. Nevertheless, it sounds like a good time and truth can come through. It's not so much about what authority, like, the tarot reader has, it's how good are they at getting out of the way of whatever information or message wants to come. And although tarot cards aren't my favorite, sort of medium for getting information from nowhere, because I think that they're a little bit limited because of the archetypes and so on. Some people really do well with working with archetypes, and it should at the very least be an interesting experience that won't cost you too much money. But if you pay attention for what they say that might actually be true, like Bruce says, it resonates with you, then you're living open to experience in a way that might lead more interesting opportunities to you.
Robin, now these days these people want like a subscription plan. Don't
sign up for the
subscription. Yeah, you don't want a monthly fee. Yeah.
And but I was curious.
This is not a Netflix subscription.
I am curious about Bruce and the reading that he had, just because I'm wondering, yeah, Bruce, if you were to appear on TV in front of millions of people, like, is that any kind of goal of yours? And if you did, would you tell us that you were on TV, or do you just kind of let it happen as another parallel life of yours, and we would never be the wiser?
You know, I don't know. I've always sort of liked a level of anonymity a bit. I mean, if you're in crypto, for instance, I think there are ways to make a lot of money and maintain some level of anonymity. And it's like, why would you sign up to the stress of unnecessary levels of publicity? So I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing to hear. I would guess if it happens spontaneously and in a kind of funny way that I don't expect.
Like a spiral, maybe?
I'm not sure. No idea. I don't really have any craving for fame. I have a craving to entertain people and help people and make them more playful, this kind of stuff. But I don't really have a craving to be seen by millions of people or something like that. So I don't know. It was a weird one.
Coach, guess who I got to buy Zeph today? Guess who? Can you take a guess?
Give me a category of people.
He's big.
I don't know. Maybe Big Tell.
Yes, I got him to buy 10 Zeph.
Did you really though?
Yes, 10.
Can you prove it?
Yes.
Prove it in. Send me a Telegram screenshot or something.
Okay.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, Big Tell, man. My friend trains in the same gym.
You got Big Tell to buy Zephyr.
Yeah, man. 10 Zeph. 10 Zeph. I actually wanted to ask.
Show me, prove it though, if you can. It'd be funny.
Yes. But listen, man, Coach Bruce, what are you seeing in the markets, man? Like, are you, what are you anticipating for 2024? I see our boy Zoo is getting released pretty soon, and then soon Ox will correct to its rightful price of 69 cents.
Webby, the funny thing is, like, millions of dollars of investment into Ox would probably do far less than him posting an Ox emoji at this point. So I don't know. I agree. I think when the Sioux gets back on the wagon fully, then things will be okay.
I see.
What do I see? What do I see in the market? I would love a way to bet on rates of mental illness, because I think that'll skyrocket 2024, 2025. I think LGBT will skyrocket 2024, 2025 as well. I would love a way to bet on these kind of trends, like the rates of mental illness or the rates of sexuality change or whatever.
Wouldn't that just be like, just buy a few NFTs?
I'm not sure what it would look like. I was thinking about doing stuff like this with the OpenX stuff, like making perps out of Google search trends in different ways.
Oh my god, Coach. For real?
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, what are the most solid trends right now? And then I started thinking about, like, the LQBT stuff. And I thought, like, how can I make that a derivative?
And what's interesting about with OpenX, like, they do physical delivery of, like, the derivatives, right? So if you leverage on a bet about the rise of, like, LGBT, and then later you cash in,
the exchange will give me a gay man.
A yes, or an L or a T. I mean, there's options. They can, that the exchange is up to them. I think what batch that they give you, it might be a mixed batch.
Wait, you're saying I can buy the college lesbian coin, right?
It's a basket of goods.
Yeah, like the I've had a bunch of ideas that I haven't been able to implement yet, but one of them was when Frentech came out, like the social fi thing, Frentech. And I thought the bare bones thing wasn't, it was kind of interesting, but not great. Not really much better than somebody having a Telegram paid group or something, right? It was kind of interesting in that stuff like volatility of your social worth was incentivized. So you really wanted to make friends, then enemies, then friends, then enemies, right? Because people can sell and buy or whatever. And a lot of the dynamics were interesting. But I thought what was more interesting is if you could take all of the Frentech users and categorize them. Like maybe you would have OnlyFans girls, and maybe you would have YouTuber guys, or maybe you would have Shaw guys like BitBoy or whoever else is like popular now. And then maybe you would have gay people, LGBT stuff. Maybe you would have sleuths on Twitter, like say ZachXBT or Fatman or whoever else is now currently doing a justice crusade. Imagine if you could have an ETF or an index of categories. And then you could say long OnlyFans girls or long LGBT, and then short like the sleuths or the justice crusaders. I thought that would be really interesting. Like what I wanted to do with OPNX was have, say, 8 different categories and then have people long or short those indexes of those users. And maybe in each group you would have, say, I don't know, 5, 10, 20, 20 users. And it would just be an averaging of those. This would be interesting because then people would start writing about it, right? Like they'd start writing their thesis on why the rise of gay people, or why OnlyFans girls have peaked out in terms of their social capital, or maybe why Zach and Fatman and others were like a bear market phenomena and they're peaked out and about to crash. And then you start getting people betting in different directions and writing interesting things. And like, it suddenly becomes more of a, like it's both interesting because it's new tech, like social fi, but also it's much more content to write about than simply like, I'm gonna buy X person's token. Like, I think categories are more interesting as a whole, and also related to what I said, like the Google Trend stuff or whatever. So there's loads of ideas like that that I think would be interesting.
Coach, have you ever taken a look at just the NFT trend? I feel like with everything you're talking about, I think colorful NFTs on something like, I like to view Solana as the new chain for like, you know, mental illness and all that stuff, crazy autism stuff that crypto community is known for. And I was going through a few collections and I found a couple and I'm like, wow, this fits that narrative of just a bunch of crazy people coming together for the sake of some JPEGs, right? What do you think about that, Coach? Would you ever
I missed your point a little bit.
Well, I mean, why not just buy some NFTs? If you're trying to bet on that rather than like
bet on what
what everything you were saying.
Don't really get it. I reckon though NFTs are probably the best tech for launching a cult or something. Like I reckon like since I bought crypto basically, I thought that one of the primary points of crypto isn't the fact that you buy or sell tokens. It's the fact that when you own a token, you're incentivized to transmit the ideas to other people. And I think that's really interesting. And then I think NFTs are basically the best tech to do that because they're like tribal war paint and they're gated more by price. And one of the horrible things about crypto in general that holds it back is the fact that anyone can buy. That might sound kind of strange, but it's true. Like any desirable group or any group that stands up for anything, like an ideal or a virtue or a set of principles or something, tends to be gated in some way, right? Either by difficulty or by difficulty of entrance or whatever, any kind of way. Or if you look at, say, look at the whole arena of life, even desirable nightclubs are gated by entry, right? Not anyone can get in. Not anyone can get in a secret society. Not anyone can get in the Bilderberg Club. Not anyone can get in the Illuminati. Not anyone can get in the Freemasons or whatever, right? It's all gated.
Stop talking about my groups.
I'm sorry, but it's all gated in some way, right? Because ideally, the group wants a set of people that will reflect and disseminate the principles in quite a pure way and maintain the cohesiveness and the specialness and whatever the overall aim of the group is. And crypto hasn't really achieved that, right? All it's really done is say, you can't buy a certain thing unless you have X amount of money. So that's like another thing I'm thinking about, like using NFTs plus something else to gate entry and therefore have more of a sort of a pure distillation and quality check and ability to perpetuate certain principles. I think that's really interesting.
When you look at something like the Freemasons, you look at something like the Freemasons, the only way you get in, depending on the right or whatever it is, the only way you get in is if somebody, like if you're related to somebody, you know, by birth, you get in, or if somebody might have like one card that they get to use, you know, sometimes in their whole lifetime to invite somebody in, and then you don't pay money to get in, you don't necessarily get given money, but you make connections, and so you're just forming a tight circle of people. Mm. It's interesting,
right?
Probably one of the greatest compliments I was ever paid in my life was when I was working at like an internship and somebody offered to bring me into the Freemasons and use their one card on me, which I declined because I wasn't sure how that would conflict with other activities that I do, like my anti-Freemason website. So I just didn't take that. I didn't take that card. I figure somebody else will use it and want to make their whole life around it. But with NFTs, if you have a group that is forming and they're starting to share an identity.
Are you talking about the monkey picks people?
Anything. Even we have some Miladies in here. We have some Neo Tokyo in here, right? So like these communities start to build a character, and then
the
price goes up and up. The price goes up and up and up and up and up and up and up, and then you, by virtue of that, you get a very different type of people. The ones who can afford to buy the top tend to be very different from the people who got in at the bottom when it's like more organic. And you lose good people. You lose people who were there at the beginning and are awesome, but now they want to take profits on it instead of staying in because the profit is going to pull them away. And so you often lose character. You often lose like value. Because for the sake of money. So I don't know how you could do something other than money to decide ownership.
Do you remember the early experiments with Scorpion DAO and using the social intelligence eyes test and stuff? That's sort of an initial exploration of this kind of thing. It's like how can we gate other than money?
Scorpion DAO, that takes me back. Scorpion DAO, the hub.
I think an ideal NFT usage is something like a set is like you become interested in a set because it reflects or embodies certain principles which you really, really agree with at a soul or heart or mind level. And then there is something of an entry price because you don't want anyone to just buy, and buying is a signifier that you really believe in those things somewhat. But it's clear that from the principle principles itself, it's also clear that you only buy if you really agree with what it expresses. And it's like very clear about that, like only buy if you agree with this. And then I think beyond that, there would need to be some sort of other entry standard. Like we were messing around with the ISS.
Although I think Zephyr stuff. Has an element of this already baked in.
That's a good question. Any origin of any community is like gated by the kind of people who find it. But it does change over time. And one of the questions is like how to maintain that, as Grin says, how to maintain that purity over time is quite interesting. But I think it would be partly, an ideal sort of NFT cult would be very, very principles based. It would be partly money gated, and then it would be partly some other gating. And then you would also have a dynamic, much like the Freemasons thing, where you can only invite one person. And somehow, like one of the interesting things about that is like you are reflected by who you invite for life, right? Like it's sort of a big social risk at the same time. Like, yes, you are giving them something, and maybe you have to be sure that they're really committed or whatever. And maybe Grin wasn't sure about himself, but as well as that, they reflect you for life. It's like you're bringing someone into the fold, and if they're terrible, well, you fucked up, right? and eyes are on you, and you're in trouble. So you've got to be sure. Like, you've really got to be sure who you invite. You're not just shilling your bags to make them go up in an impersonal manner. You're inviting someone in the fold who you think will genuinely add to the whole spirit of the thing. And that's like, hasn't really been achieved in crypto as much as it has in real life. It's in many ways the task of NFT cults and stuff is to move it closer to real life while capitalizing on some of the same benefits of crypto.
I don't think anyone solved it. It's definitely an open question. Because the NFTs are tokens that are not attached to a person. They're attached to like a wallet right now. And if you could transfer the wallet to somebody else, even if that means giving them your keys, then you can turn over that whole identity and everything. It's
somewhat solved. Like, religions do this with ritual. That's why I was saying, like, the crypto game I was talking about, like, involves like daily rituals fundamentally, because like the act of doing the ritual is a gate in and of itself, because like only the committed will do the ritual again and again.
I've thought about, like, I've got a sort of a document, and I've thought about different NFT set designs, Grin, like the design of the blueprint of principles that would encourage like volume turnover and one per person. And do you know anything about like magic with a K and sigils and things like that, Grin?
A little bit. I'm not too interested in. I don't deal with that too much myself. No, but
it doesn't. It doesn't matter really.
Yeah.
But you know what it is roughly, right?
Yeah.
Like it's the idea that whatever. It relates more to the idea of like manifestation in general. And maybe it's real, maybe it's not, whatever. But how it's meant to work is that you have some intention. Like, maybe right now I'm a poor person, I don't have a house, and I intend to have a house. What I would do is I would set an intention that looks like it basically looks like me saying something like, I am in a large house and I'm really comfortable and safe and happy, whatever. I would say it as if it's in the present, and I would write it down, and then I would turn that into some kind of symbol and do some wacky shit to it, whatever. One of my ideas was like, the interesting thing about sigil magic and this kind of manifestation practice is that throughout the whole principles of the teaching of it and books on it, you are only supposed to concentrate on these things when you don't have them. And if you do have them, then in that case, it's supposed to not work. It's like saying, for instance, like, let's say if you're in a bad health state and you're trying to manifest good health, right? When you achieve good health, the person who is interested in magic would say, like, stop asking to manifest good health because you already have it. And to manifest good health from a place of already having it is asking for sickness so you can get back to health from sickness. Does that make sense? So it's like, it must always be something you don't have right now, right? So one of my ideas with an NFT set would be to use this principle where it's like, you have people have cover photos or profile pictures or whatever else, and they're basically manifestation symbols or sigils. And when the thing that is wanted is manifested, the person is by principle incentivized to sell it and give it to someone else, because by retaining it at the point at which you have the thing you wanted, it would have a negative effect. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And anybody here who says otherwise is lying or ignorant.
Thank you. So like what I'm saying is you can have principles that underlie an NFT set, or you can have belief system around an NFT set. Let's say a set about manifestation. And then you can have people sell or only have one by virtue of that belief system, right? The other thing I wanted to do with that set, for instance, was to, like, as soon as you manifest the thing you wanted, you would somehow leave like a thank you message that would be connected to the NFT forever. And then when you sell it to someone else, it's like they are now granted the same sort of spell, and they can try and manifest the same thing, say a house or a boyfriend or a whatever. But at the same time, they see the chain of it working for everyone else historically. So it has a certain momentum. Does that make sense? Like it's sort of an interesting concept. But I was thinking, like, how do you produce volume, turnover, and sells and buys through the belief system rather than, say, flipping an asset? And I think you can. I think it's interesting.
Safi, would you buy a how many NFTs? How many NFTs, Zephs, would you buy?
Three.
What makes you pick three?
Just trying to be reasonable.
I heard what you said, Coach, and I don't know. Maybe it went over my head, or maybe I didn't understand exactly like the brilliance of it, or like the technicalness of this. But I just don't. I don't know about NFTs. Like I just. Like I don't understand. I've never had an NFT, and I just don't know why I would have one.
I don't care either. That's the point. I think in their current incarnation, they generally suck. It's just like another form of shilling or whatever. It's like nothing. There's nothing particular about it that is interesting. Milady is kind of interesting a little bit because it stands for something. Like the sort of embrace of chaos and acceleration and shitposting and whatever else. But generally, NFTs are sort of bullshit. They're nothing in particular. So the question is, like, are they actually an interesting technology when it comes to forming a digital religion and producing real good and benefit in the world? And I think they are. I think it just hasn't really been explored yet. That's something I want to do in the coming year or so, 2024, is really explore that.
Yeah, because I remember like in 2021, 22, like those were, like that was a very prominent thing, and in a bear it just wasn't. So like if it goes full send,
yeah. I mean you had something like a set of very wealthy people adopted certain NFTs, or maybe in some cases NFTs were access to something or representative of something that seemed to be valuable. I don't know what the Tokyo thing was, Grin. I remember you describing it sometimes.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good example of an NFT community that grew beyond just simple price, and because of the intention of the person who created it. Now I sold like my main one a while back, and I did terrible things with the money that I got from selling it. But I ended up selling because I realized that I wasn't in a place in my life to take advantage of it. And it took me a while to come to that. I wish I'd come to that realization earlier and made hundreds of thousands of dollars instead of just like the 12,000 or whatever I made. But the idea, Neo Tokyo started with like an online scavenger hunt. And then there was a live event where people had to solve how to like mint it. And so it's already got this feeling of like, I've been through an ordeal. People formed teams to try to get in. They worked together. Some people made it, some people didn't. Some by luck, some by mistake. And the NFTs at one point, like, you know, were in the hundreds of thousands of dollars range. But the idea was that it was going to be like the Illuminati of crypto gaming. That was the elevator pitch that the creators gave out. But the first people who got in were people like me, like schlubs. You know, schlubs made it. People who solved the puzzle and got to mint for free made it. And some sold immediately, some didn't. For me, I like the idea of crypto gaming. I think there is a lot of potential in it. I wanted to be around it. I wanted to have opportunities to make life-changing money, but it took a long time and the bear market, I think, for Neo Tokyo to start to make that promise where enough people who cared more about the money and couldn't take advantage of it would sell the tokens. The tokens got down to a price where then like a different group of people, like hungry people who are really interested in the industry, might buy in and maybe even have the means to buy in. They couldn't buy in at $100,000 or $50,000, but they might be willing to buy in at $3,000 for the connections that would make them. And so now there's been an inflection point.
But let me interrupt you for just a second. But
yeah,
Zephyr's price is at a level that's very similar to what I picked it up at this morning, if anyone cares. Anyway, go ahead.
And then so now through the cleansing of the bear market, it looks like Neo Tokyo's had a resurgence because now
crypto gaming is starting to come back to life. A lot of people who have been making projects actually have something to show. And then Bitcoin has kind of pulled up all coins behind it. And so I'm starting to see how that community has come back to life. And it actually is full more now of people who are actually involved in development. They're not aspirational, like they're actually doing it. And then the mission has sort of been fulfilled. And a lot of this was self-organizing once given the plot. Once given the plot, the founders actually like were terrible. Like they disappeared for sometimes months at a time, or berated people, or were confrontational and didn't really contribute much. And so the people who actually believed in the mission of let's be the Illuminati of crypto gaming stuck around and are doing it, like reaching the point where now they have investment rounds and seed rounds they can contribute to crypto gaming projects and opportunities that that they wouldn't have without the NFT. And that was propelled by the community given the purpose and given the events that like tied them together. So there are some true believers there. Some of them are very much cult-like and will hold on to their tokens till the day they die. And I think Milady is a good example too, because their star was shining brighter through the bear market. Even when other things were going down in price, there were people who saw like the culture of it and it felt more authentic. And people would be like, yeah, if you believe in this, you want to come along with this, then you can use my PFP. Like anybody could use any Milady PFP, and it's not restricted to the price. And because of that, people did want to buy it in a way, like because it felt more authentic to them. I see as an outsider, that's the way I see it. Those are two success stories, but even they are gated by cost. And so there's good people who are left out. You know, they can't get in, right? And so it's not efficient.
Yeah, all of these systems have to like have a low barrier of entry to the new person. And this is why all of those are doomed to fail. Like long run, they just won't work. Like we discovered this like 20, 30 years ago in gaming. It just won't work.
Whatever Bored Ape was, but at the point where they were selling for millions of dollars and celebrities were buying into the status symbol, it became something totally different. It became the NFT of showing off your wealth. Right.
Yeah. Like you could have tulip bubbles for a little while, but like having that maintain over the long run is quite difficult.
Yeah. And then like, why are you trying to do that in general? Like what's the grand purpose of trying to do that?
Well, some people really believe in the community, and then you can be smart and pretend like you're part of the community and just make money off of them.
I mean, yeah, I mean, but I think if you're looking at, if that's, oh man, my tacos place just closed. if you're trying to pretend like that, I mean, some people are going to see that right through that, right?
Not really. Like at Don Kryptonium, I don't want to speak for him, but he has a story about Romilio's he might want to share. Unless he's taking a bath. He's probably taking a bath.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I mean, if you market, and I get the idea, if you like you market enough, like you're going to have some suckers, for sure. You're going to have some individuals that just don't know any better, not because maybe they're not intelligent, or maybe because they are.
Let's put it this way. I was just on a space right before this with the Utes and the D-Gods, and everyone was going fucking bananas that there is a total of maybe 10 to 20 girls in the D-Labs, like NFT, including myself. It is a huge thing. I mean, these people truly believe in like being part of this cool club of being a Ute or a D-God, and like the roadmap and the community and like meeting up and being part of that. And it's like wild to me. I'm like just playing the part, right? Just to see.
That is wild.
I thought the little party or whatever looks was pretty stupid.
Dude, I don't. You just buy.
Like,
just
I could like, throw. I could throw a pop up rave any day of the year, and like, it's gonna be more interesting than their little event.
I understand, but I all you got to see is the vibe, right? It's like the attention economy. It's the same. I mean, this is primarily like what surprises me is similarly like to how Bruce does this with community posts and getting coins like Zeph to go. He could do any of us really could pump an NFT very easily the same way. But it's more fun because it's artistic and unique to your own personality, I suppose. I don't know. I have a lot more fun with NFTs than I do coins for this very reason. If there's like so many personalities you can play from community to community.
And there's a lot of, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun when you have an NFT that starts to pick up and starts to sell for more and more, and people want to identify with it. It's a lot of fun. But the problem is most of them are just not differentiated at all. Like, their whole identity is, hey, we have an NFT that's going up in value. Yay, everybody. But when the party, the music stops and it goes down in price, it just gets really dire, like really fast. Unless you have some other reason for the community that's like the main purpose. The main purpose isn't the value of the thing that we have is going to go up, but that you're there for some other reason. Like, it brings you to a group of like-minded people. And that's where the big, I think, community success stories are. That's why there are, even when certain things are not doing well, like Luna didn't do well, like Galactic Punks was kind of like the premier.
But yeah, like, but if NFT, this theory was entirely true, like what would happen is you'd normally have like people show up and, you know, join up in whatever Discord or whatever group. And like if it was truly about community, you'd just give these things away for free. Like, there's no obvious reason to like have to pay for them, except maybe, I don't know, like just create sort of artificial scarcity or something. But it's not really, like these things just don't maintain for very long. I mean, I could understand if you buy NFTs or whatever just for the art. Okay, I can understand that. Like, you like the picture, you like the artist, you pay a little bit of money for it. Fine, like I can understand supporting that. But like the sort of like community grouping narrative thing just doesn't seem to play out for very long. It's sort of like a candle that burns bright for a little while and then dissipates.
Yeah, like I guess last cycle with the dragons, I was started from the beginning with the meteor shower, and I probably had over $450,000 worth of assets on that NFT. Like, it was crazy.
You had like 450K worth of Levana shit?
Yeah. Well, I didn't pay that much, but I'm saying that's what it would be, right? And I truly believe this thing was going to be a game. And then I obviously got humbled pretty quickly after the crash.
Although it wasn't Levana's. It wasn't their fault that it wrecked, technically. So there's that.
Well, okay. But there's deeper nuance into that. But regardless, I was awakened by understanding that you can't. I was one of those people who really was married to the NFT and really did believe it was a community. Like, I fucking cried with everybody else as we went to zero together. It was wild. And now coming back to this cycle, it's like I have a completely different perspective on NFTs and really take it with like an arm's distance towards everything. And the like, don't get too close and don't get too attached, right? And you'll make money. You actually will.
It's weird because it's the intersection of like digital collectibles, like POGs or whatever. It's an intersection of that, but with like identity. So you end up with collectible identities, some of which are worth more than others. So it's very bizarre. But this is early days. It's early days for this idea.
But a simple bottom line thing is, like, if you look at any successful long-term thing, like from anywhere from baseball cards, which you could argue that baseball fans are a community, or like Pokemon cards, you can argue that people that play that game are a community. Typically, you're going to get into the game like with like maybe $15. Like you get a few packets of cards, you can play Magic the Gathering or whatever the hell else. And like, yeah, you can play the collectible piece and then like try to collect all the fancy expensive things. But the reality is like you have to be able to generate the largest audience possible with the relatively free stuff. And if people enjoy that free stuff and like the game involved or the community involved, whatever, maybe they'll pay for the higher end stuff. But like a lot of these things were designed not for that, but to like basically price out the new folks, because like the goal is to create artificial scarcity and like have the things pump. And that's really
inevitably what happened was these communities would be like, okay, we'll make us another set, but it won't be deemed as important as the main set. And that would give people something to sell.
Yeah.
Most so of those. They could take some profit on having this thing is worth so much, but
and almost
but
everyone
the problem
that
is
does
then
that, it goes to zero. Yeah. The whole
almost
goes to zero.
It does gradually push down the price, even of the more expensive assets. It like ruins their value, but it also means the person doesn't have to just sell it. Like they don't have a binary choice anymore. If that person like gets a free NFT of a lower class, and then they could sell it. Like
now the mistake is we have to make infinitely printable lower level
yes.
ones for anyone who wants
yes.
to play. That is the secret. That is it, and that's all. You don't
and that's kind of the way it worked. That's effectively the way it worked with Milady, because they'd say you can use my PFP. And so then anybody who wanted to identify or be a part of the culture and wear like a Milady thing could do it. And they also said, okay, we're going to acknowledge like other people who make stuff like Milady that have a similar vibe. We're not going to like sue them or anything like that. So that comes up with like all these little derivative sets and stuff like that. And that lets people, it allows that entry level, let's participate. And then if you really care, you can buy the actual thing. But I've always thought
like,
the same thing, like
the
scarcity, how do you
like
take scarcity out
of
it?
Yeah, the playing of the game or whatever leads you to be able to acquire the scarce asset. Say, for example, if you play the game of life, you know, governments inflate money, video games inflate their money. Like almost every like playing card game has a lot of inflation as far as just like the not so rare part of the game. And that leads to people playing the game, acquiring wealth, and then wanting to store that wealth in some kind of store of value, like a gold or, you know, Bitcoin or something like that. So the generation of the economy and the growth of that economy really revolves around just inflation. If you don't have inflation, then you just create a closed system where like a few rich people, you know, enjoy their like talking about their cards, but then nobody else knew is coming. And then eventually like nobody gives a shit. That's kind of how this works. So like the attention economy and the meme economy die off once the price reaches a certain point. Because nobody can afford them, or like the upside is so limited that who the hell wants to buy like your bag for $1 million NFT or something, and it just gets ridiculous at that point. So yeah, that's why these things like are largely designed by people that don't know what they're doing is what I've seen about the NFT groups. Like just like low IQ like kind of nonsense. It just doesn't last long, and it's going to burn out just by the design of the system.
The typical NFT founder is probably either like a 19-year-old person or somebody who's like VC funded and is looking entirely for a way to get a return on investment. So that kind of shows you why the setups are as crappy as they are. And scammers, that's like the third group, like total scammers.
I don't think we've even scratched the surface of what's possible with NFTs and things.
No, I don't think so.
But I think it must
be someone will produce like the great thing, whatever that is.
I think you must start with a religious core or a set of principles, and you must have the idea be very, very central. And then everything else is basically a sort of an accelerator of the transmission of that idea. And then you have something that looks much more like long-term resilience. and maybe even a wired cultural movement.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Coach Bruce, because when I hear about NFTs, it seems so ahead of its time. You know, it's not quite there, but there is something there, but it's way out in the future. I think that's what NFTs are. Like, it's not quite mature yet, but there is something there. I don't know when it's going to get there, though.
Yeah, I would also say one of the problems is that, like, even if you do create a beautiful NFT set, that is essentially a really spiritual, principled, loving thing, then your current market is NFT people, and they're basically soulless.
Yeah, like right now there is kind of a narrow band of like type of people that are in the like, you know, kind of crypto space. It was sort of like when late 90s, early 2000 time period, where like online video games were like, well, number one, like 99% male. And you know, you had to have, you know, understanding of how to set up a computer and how to set up the internet and install software and shit. And like, you had a limited number of people that were interested in playing video games at the time. And that was kind of the gating and that sort of nerd economy. And those games were made for those nerds. And then the people within them behave like exactly that crowd. So I think the gating to some extent in the crypto space tends to attract, you know, just a certain types of people and definitely does not attract others. So I find it very kind of strange.
Yeah. I mean, you're like in crypto, you're not right now. You're not like, if I produced a very spiritual, principled thing, like a religious thing, you wouldn't get people who would be likely to really latch onto that strongly. You would find some, but it would be more kind of, it would be more of like a coincidence of marketing it on Twitter and stumbling across people who've not really used crypto that much so far. Right now, the people in crypto are basically the ones who want to flip stuff for money. They're sort of investment minded rather than pure art or principle or love minded, which is a different thing. It's like a demographic.
Yeah, there's also kind of a concept in religions, Bruce. Like, imagine, so like, usually most of the big religious leaders and such, they're celebrated after their death, and the sort of like religion economy that occurs afterwards, the selling of various books and like selling of religious, ritualistic implements and building of churches and temples and whatever, all that comes sort of like after, but not during that person's, because otherwise what happens is like those that are able to accomplish like acquiring great wealth, you know, during their lifespan in religion, like they come off as kind of like some kind of grifter or whatever. Like this happens like in India, for example.
A lot of the Indian sages built their following on their life.
Yeah, no, they built their following while they're alive, but a lot of times the wealth was not necessarily while they're alive every time.
It was in a lot of cases.
When it does happen when they're alive, then it's like, there's definitely like, I don't know, some kind of like grifter vibe they put off, you know, even if like their thoughts are pure and their intentions are pure, but like there is
some kind of, yeah. In India, with good like guru framing and marketing, people tend to think the guru is God.
Yes.
That's so pretty typical. I don't know if they're that suspicious.
I just had an idea. I think if we were able to somehow find a way to get the tarot card readers to tell everyone that when they walk in to buy Zeph or an NFT, that would be a form of marketing, right? They would go into the tarot card location, and then the tarot card person would then tell them they had to buy some sort of NFT. That would be a form of marketing, right? Or would that be too suspicious?
I don't know what you were talking about, but yeah. like what?
No,
I guess my question is, I like the idea of the spiritually minded community that with like a shared purpose, and the money maybe just be incidental, or the interest might just be incidental based on people doing cool stuff. But there's a lot of stuff that like you have to ask, like, is NFT necessary? Like, the only reason NFT is kind of necessary is if you need to like verify ownership of somebody, or if you need to transfer ownership with or without money. And to have a community, you don't necessarily need either one of those things. Like, so the question is, what would be the value add, Bruce, of the NFT onto that community? Because you could just create, you've created dozens of communities already. What would the NFT do to enhance that?
I think it's pretty strong to show that you stand for something, and that that thing represents whatever principles you stand for. I think it's still
the symbolism piece. Yeah.
Yeah. But we do that by putting emoji in our name, for example.
I don't know. There's, if you were to have like a purely religious or principled NFT set, I think there's something to be said for your willingness to buy it because you believe in those principles so much. Like, I don't know, but more generally, like from a zoomed out perspective, Bryn, I see these things as just experiments. Like, I have an intuition that some truly beautiful cult or principled sort of modern digital spirituality can be produced, and have NFTs be an identifier, a thing you stand as, and a way to transmit ideas. And the financial aspect is basically just a catalyst on everything. I think all this stuff just needs experimenting with. Like, I think part of the beauty and the interest of it all is the fact that you don't really know what's going to happen, right? It's like on the edge of tech.
Basically, Grin's point is like, why digitize this? Why turn this information into something sitting on like a ledger somewhere? The idea is, I think in my mind, it's like the game theory basically is like when you spend a specific amount of time every day doing a particular ritual, whether it's mining gold in a video game, like killing a dragon in a video game, or like maybe just having conversations with people in it or whatever, or like, you know, the process and the ritual, the living of a life, a certain amount of time spent in that space, maybe can just be distilled to like activities you do over a certain period of time. Then people like to symbolize those times with like symbolic images. They like to get ornamental jewelry. They like to get like, interesting buildings and implements that they do the rituals with. Like, there's a whole kind of culture that develops around this sort of like the daily ritual, the daily grind, whatever that is. And you see this play out like in religions and video games. You see it like in multiplayer online games and the whole nine yards. And then like once there is that culture, then people are willing to do interesting shit, like buy expensive video game skins and things to make their characters look cool or whatever. And like you see it in, for example, like car culture, for example. A person might be interested, like, you know, in racing or something, and then they see a brand attached to that, and then they're like, okay, I've got to go buy that car. They buy that car, and then they're like, okay, well, now you've got like t-shirts and jackets and other implements and shit that go with that. There's kind of like this, it begins with kind of like a game. It begins with a ritual, and then that results in a culture. That culture results in like monetary activity, economic activity, and like the sale of little things that are involved in that. So like even the act of performing rituals, for example, people build entire like castles and temples and things. Then they have all sorts of little like objects they use during the rituals. They might have gold items. They might have like whatever, like all sorts of like, you know, fancy little things. So all of that like activity leads to like little mini economies, essentially. Even like, for example, in the simple thing of like marriages and such, like marriages don't have to be so complicated, like, but people create entire like, you know, economic realms around like holding marriages, having big ones, and then having all sorts of people dressed in certain ways, spending gigantic amounts of money on like food and whatever else that goes with that. It's like this economy that generates around the principle. Like whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's like, you could debate that, and I think religious groups debate that all the time. Like, do they like the monetization of that whole process or not? But it's like a natural thing, though. It's like it happens anyway. So it's like you probably just embrace it.
Do you think there should be something made around a religious center of creating? Like what we were talking about the other day, like how
my sense of this is like you. It's not something you'd call a religion. Like that's something for other people to label it as. Like the ritual and the game and the activity that you're producing needs to sort of like be in and of itself an activity that's worth it and that your time is worth spending doing it. If it has a religious outcome, maybe like a principled benefit as a side effect, that's probably the way to get the most number of people to do it. Does that make sense? Like
it's how to repopulate the world. That's how do we
for example, like, is it more important that you have like a dozen people to go to, you know, a church every weekend and sit there and chat? Or is it more important that like people follow the golden rule on a daily basis with most of their activities? Right. Like, so you can do certain like very specific rituals, but the rest of it is like, how does it alter your behavior for the remainder of the time that you're alive? And so I think there is sort of like the game that encompasses that in the digital space and then provides all the principled stuff that Bruce is talking about, like that is coming. And I think whoever produces that at scale, it will be a gigantic thing that will like dwarf, like digital space has the potential to dwarf all prior sort of like major religions in terms of scale and scope. Whether or not like there's NFTs or any of the stuff involved is neither here nor there. I've seen this firsthand, just like over, you know, like gigantic communities of people in multiplayer online spaces, creating literally entirely separate lives. And, you know, like within that game space, people start developing their own etiquette. Like they start developing their own like morals. Like, for example, in some video games, it's possible to sort of like, you know, kill random people and like take their shit, so that leaves like griefing where the newbie comes along and you're like, I'm going to kill the newbie. And like, you know, it's fun and I can steal them and steal their dagger and their robes or something. And so like some games have that. Other games, like the culture is different where there's not like much of the player versus player. It's more player versus environment or like, you know, attacking dragons or whatever. And then everyone has to cooperate to attack the dragon. But even then you get like drama because like, what if, you know, there's only one spawn of that dragon every week. And now like you have two guilds and they're fighting over this dragon. Do you take turns? Do you like, you know, do you all like bum rush the thing and hope that, you know, you don't get in each other's way? I've seen all these different interesting things play out. A lot of times what happens is like the game designers, what they realize is, wait a minute, these people are acting immorally within the game. They're fighting with each other. It's making it less fun for whatever reason. And what they do is they redesign the game to like adjust for all that shit. So like over the last like 20 years or whatever, like MMO games have like the morals have been modified. The game design has been modified to like the Matrix or whatever, so that people sort of behave in more like appropriate ways. And like you have like more productive fun, but you're not just like, you know, constantly irritated with each other. Cause obviously they have to make money by selling this product and it has to be fun for people. So what has happened in video games in particular is the games that are like more player versus player, where the whole goal is to shoot each other. That's a separate genre. And generally like the games that where it's player versus environment have become their own genre. And what I've noticed is it's like very few games can incorporate both the PvE and PvP really well. It's very hard to economically and morally incentivize both. In a way that like makes sense in a game world. I mean, only in real life do we see like PvP and PvE like constantly at odds. And eventually we have gigantic wars in the real world and kill each other. Like, so in the gaming world, you can control that to some extent. And you can attract just the group of people that are entertained by one particular type of entertainment, whether it's like violence versus each other or, you know, only, you know, challenges that are more environmental. So like, I think like in the crypto space, like this has not been addressed. This type of like ritual based game that then creates a culture around it just has not happened yet. And I think it's because like the type of person that needs to build this just has not emerged to do it. Like, it's just that simple. Like, and so a lot of the NFT noise that I saw are like, is interesting, like, but it's mostly just like a copy of what people already did in the real world, like sell art or sell music or sell scarcity or sell Pokemon cards. Like, all they did was basically took what Pokemon already designed or baseball cards had designed, you know, sort of like the scarce, like, you know, asset, and they put it on the digital space and said, oh, look, it's an NFT. You should go buy it. That's all I really saw, which is why, like, I've spent a little time messing with NFTs, but it just never blew me away. Just like, you know, I've seen all this before.
It's interesting because you talk about PvP versus PvE, and because a crypto space, including NFTs, are so transactional, and there's a price tied to everything, and there's charts showing the prices of everything, it pretty much makes everything PvE. I'm not sure how to. I'm PvP. PvP. I mean, a player versus player. Everybody.
Exactly.
Everybody's against everybody else in one degree or another, and as long as they can be compared on a chart, and some is going up and some are going down, I'm not sure how to make it on player versus enemy, because I'm not sure who the enemy would be in that case.
I think you would have to, like, you know, people need like a created enemy in a sense, like something to rally against. Or like, there are games without an explicit enemy, but like most of the time there's some kind of like antagonist you're going after for some reason. Like in religion, it's like the devil or whatever. And, you know, it's like, so this is a common thing that emerges, like that human beings have to have some challenge against something, or like, or maybe like the ritual actually results in something. Like, for example, like some people argue that like hashing Bitcoin is just a waste of power and money and like whatever, like those computer cycles could be used for like cure cancer or something. But what if they were, like, what if instead of just simply an arbitrary hash that, you know, the game that everyone plays actually provides some kind of purpose. So I think the sense of purpose that when everyone's interacting together, the PvE element would have to be like, you're literally like curing cancer or something. You're doing something for the world while you're playing. And that's probably doable. There's probably ways to gamify that. I suspect, like, this is why I was, one of the reasons I've been getting like more interested in like what AI does, because I think if AI is used properly, it could be used to like shape humanity to play a slightly different game. If used improperly, it just causes complete and utter decimation. I'm not convinced that human beings like are very good at making machines do really great things from this perspective, but I could be proven wrong. But like but you see my point, like life is a game. Economic systems are games. We do certain things for survival and whatnot, of course, but a lot of it, we just add a lot of ritual to our lives naturally. Like, even whether you're religious or not, you do you do a lot of ritual every day. Like, you wake up, maybe you brush your teeth, you know, you eat something, whatever. You know, we have like a cycle every day that we do. And there are people that like literally break that cycle every day and are kind of like, you know, scatterbrained, but that's not very common. Most people are pretty ritualistic, I would say.
Safi, when you talk about video games, like, it's interesting when you talk about video games, because the way you talk about video games is very, like, you portray it in a way like it will relate to reality in a way. You're not talking about like Activision or EA Sports.
If you spend enough time in them, it is reality. Like, it just sort of becomes it.
Like, what do you mean it becomes it? Like, do you mean like when someone's playing like fantasy football, like EA Sports type stuff?
Meaning you have a certain amount of finite time in your life. Let's say you're going to live 100 years. And let's say you've spent like, you know, 2 years of your life playing video games. That's 2 years of your reality. There is no, like, there's no separation between the game and your life at that point. Right. It's not like,
I know, but maybe you failed for 2 years straight. Like, maybe that's what happened.
What do you mean? Failed in what way? What do you mean?
Like, you're playing video games. Like, you're just sitting there playing EA Sports FIFA.
Yeah, but most people in life don't accomplish anything useful. Like, what do you mean? Like some people accomplish more in FIFA than they do in real life, honestly.
So. Wait, what are they accomplishing more in FIFA then? Like, are they just, like, beating other people across the world? Is that how they're accomplishing stuff? Like, well, what are they accomplishing when they're playing video games?
Either they achieve some kind of enlightenment about life, or maybe they like just the simple competition and whatnot. But it's no different than, like, why do people play football in real life? Or why do people, why do people travel to see the world in real life? Is there any explicit purpose to any of that? No. You don't need to travel around the world just to sort of, like, survive. Right? It's just purely entertainment for the most part.
I mean, there's that movie Gran Turismo where that is based off a true story where this kid ends up playing Gran Turismo, the Sony PlayStation game, to the point where he gets invited to go and actually, like, race, like, real cars, like driving them. And then he ends up going into the Le Mans, and he ends up, like, finishing third, you know, like, and it's, like, based off of some marketing thing where, like, Nissan decides to say, who are the best Gran Turismo PlayStation players? Like, I could see that, like, accomplishing that. Like,
for example, I deal with lots of people on a regular basis. I have to kind of, like, you know, command different people to do different things. And, like, when I was younger playing, like, some MMO type games, like, being commander of a group of people to go and do a battle or something like that, and organizing lots and lots of people while typing on a keyboard and kind of making sure everyone got there on time and did their job properly. Like, by the time I was finished playing a year or two of those games, I was better than probably most people in management positions in most companies. You know, like, so there's a training effect, a simulation effect that comes from doing these things. It'd be no different than, like, if you go do a simulation on a mannequin to do CPR and get better at doing CPR. There's really no difference.
Like, yeah, I like the simulation part.
Those are mental skill sets that create actual outcomes in real life.
Yeah, like the simulation part. Like, what you posted the other day or today about the amount of materials. Was like 800 years. Like, Coach Bruce is like, he's lived 600 lives or 800 lives.
No, what someone did is they used AI to create, like, to discover crystal structures, very similar to how AI was used to look at protein structures with, like, AlphaFold. So basically, like, just that's just using computation to do interesting AI things. What I was talking about is, like, the effect of more, like, people behaving in digital spaces and how that correlates to the real world. So like, if you think about what people do in religion, like, you know, whether it's going to church, whether it's meditating, whether it's doing ritual, whatever it is, all of that can be definitely replicated with fairly simple processes. Like, I don't know, like, I mean, hell, I mean, think about it. Like, if you're in the crypto space here, how many of you, like, maybe wake up and then, like, oh, let's see what happened on CoinGecko. That's a ritual. It's a video game. All you're doing is, you know, logging into a thing, checking out, you know, where your numbers went, you know, seeing if you need to buy some other shit and maybe sell some shit. And, oh, you know, so it's just a game for us, right? It's like, that is a video game. And in a sense, like, religious ritual is very, very similar. It's like, you do this thing every day. You pray, you do this. The difference is this is a slightly different ritual, but it has on your brain, it has very similar effects. The type of rituals you do has an effect on your long-term mindset, your way of thinking, your way of acting, all of that. So there is a mental training effect that happens from whatever we do, playing with our devices and shit, doing whatever.
Yeah, I know. Like, at 5 o'clock, my alarm goes off PM. And that, like, in my mind, I know I need to do certain things at 5 p.m. in order for my evening to go a certain way. So, like, I understand that. And, like, when I wake up in the morning...
Your alarm clock is just you interacting with a video game, essentially.
Yeah, and then, like, in the morning, like, I wake up, I look at certain charts and graphs and emails, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I have to do every day. Because if I don't do it, it feels like I'm, like, off. Right? You feel like you're just kind of off, not doing exactly what you should be doing at the time you need to be doing it.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is, like, in the digital space, video game space, VR, AR, whatever, you're going to have, like, new rituals that will form as a result of these new devices, new technologies, whatever. You know, crypto, DeFi, playing around with your little phones, you know, buying shit and selling shit. It's all just ritual. It's kind of like the meta world.
What's a ritual for Zeph? What's a ritual for Ox?
Yeah, so like I'll give you an example. Perfectly. Like going to Zephyr, for example. What do you do with it? Well, maybe you buy it at a certain price. Maybe you sell it at a certain price, right? But that's not unique to like this particular one. But there is a like ritual that you might do. Like, well, maybe in this one, when it goes up in value, you convert it to ZSD. And then, but you have to look at the moving average price and make sure that's acceptable and your transaction fees, and then you'd make the transfer, right? So there is a behavior that emerges from the nature of the system. And Slinks mentioned this earlier, how like this feels different. The Zephyr system feels different because you're thinking clearly about your behavior, because if you were to leave the system, go to an exchange, you have to give up your privacy, and now someone knows you've done this transaction, someone who can discover that somewhere and maybe tax you or whatever it is. If you never leave the system, then nobody can say anything. And that is a different type of peace than worrying about, like, you know, worrying about, like, who's looking at my open ledger. What if I send something from my ledger and buy an NFT? Now people know it's in my actual system. So in an open ledger, you're going to behave in one way. In a closed ledger with privacy, you're going to behave differently. Not to say that like one is necessarily going to be committed to, you're going to be doing good deeds and the work of Jesus or something, and the other one you're going to be doing the work of the devil or something. There's nothing like that straightforward. I think it's your behavior, though, nevertheless, is somewhat impacted within that system. And I think, you know, the ability to sort of like to trade like back and forth ZSD to Zeph within the ecosystem, or similarly like in Secret Network to be able to do this in a hidden way, definitely changes your behavior. And it changes the game just enough to where it's like different than how you'd play the game on Ethereum, for example, or if you're going to report these transactions to somebody, how you'd play the game, or if you had to be audited. That changes the game, right? Like, so for example, if one of our businesses, we have to keep like quarterly records, because those can be looked at or audited by either banks or by, you know, by tax man or whoever. And if we don't manage those correctly, then we're not playing the game correctly and we can be punished. So naturally, you have to spend a specific amount of time every single quarter playing around with this paperwork and getting this job done. Either we have to do it or we have to hire someone to do it. So that's how the ritual changes, essentially, with like, you know, when you adjust the game and the ritual, it has an effect on how people behave and how that business works and what the outcomes of that business are and everything. So because every moment I spend like doing like quarterly reporting and tax work and shit, that's time I could have been spent doing something else. Right. So yeah, like each game, each ritual in life has its own thing. And I think the privacy ecosystem to me resonated, you know, like if it could have, like if the world cared about privacy more, I could understand how, like, you know, maybe more people would get into it, market caps would go up and all that sort of thing. But I'm not kidding when I say like a system like Zephyr is not for everybody. It's like most people just won't care. They won't get it. It won't resonate with them. But for those that do, for those that it will resonate with, like it's extraordinarily important. And you do wind up with a very like-minded group of people. It's like a gate, like Bruce is mentioning before, where like a certain type of ritual leads to a gate that sort of like arbitrarily lets a certain type of people in because that ritual is the certain way. It's not any different than, like, for example, if you were to make like marijuana completely legal in a state, and every random person is using it, it's different than comparatively, like if it's hard to get, it's like a counterculture and you've got to really go deep into the woods to go find some. It's two different types of behaviors, depending on like what system you have in place. And I think with like a privacy coin system, I think you're going to have that same idea. also, like, if you look at what CBDCs are going to do, right, that's just a gigantic injection of a new game theory where, like, the government at any given moment can incentivize what you buy and what you don't buy. So let's say, for example, government sends out stimulus checks. What happened last time? People bought Dogecoin and they bought, like, AMC movie like stock and GME stock and fucked around. But the difference would be, like, in a CBDC world, the the incentive might be you can only use this to pay down debt, or you can only use this to buy a car, or, you know, like cars for clunkers. That was a thing. Or you could only use this to, buy gasoline or, you know, whatever. So
like food stamps or WIC or something.
Yeah, one of these government programs. Exactly. Yeah, these government. So the thing about CBDCs is, like, you can change the game to make people do very specific things. And people that like the idea of CBDCs love the idea that, like, you can very fine tune incentives and disincentives or whatever. And that's a different game theory, right? It's just one different video game. If you haven't been convinced yet that the entire world is just one giant game, like a video game type architecture, all that people did in video games, they digitized it and put a few graphics on it and put a graphics card band-aid on the thing. But the reality is just one extent. Video games is just more of an extension of life. And the games that are produced are just like corollaries to what we do normally. And like either they're simulations or they're anytime you're dealing with human beings, games, whether they're in video games or in real life, are going to be very similar. And the incentives and disincentives are very similar. Where it gets a bit weird is when you start like having AIs versus AIs and things like that, where like they don't have to eat, they don't have to sleep. You know, that creates different incentives and disincentives too. And that's what we're injecting into the world now, right? Like, that's why I talk about AI a lot, because now you're injecting an alien race in to intermingle with human beings, which we have not had before. And they don't eat and they don't sleep and they don't have the same things that they care about. And as those become more and more impressive, you're basically just dealing with an alien race living on Earth. Lots of different types of aliens too, not just one. So it just becomes a very different world. But we're about to live that soon, so I guess we'll see how it goes. Maybe the future sort of like game / religion / digital thing, like, helps us navigate that world by creating a new set of rituals that kind of keep us grounded to each other. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure what the final end goal would be exactly. But what I have noticed in crypto is that, like, there are some things people want in economics, in life. People want to live longer. They want to live healthy. They want money. They want money that doesn't go down in value. They want privacy. They want liberty. Really, like, if you just think about the U.S. Bill of Rights, people want all of those things. there's a certain level of intrusion or autonomy that people want to like avoid. And the theoretical game theory would have to encompass all of those issues essentially to be very, very successful. I think someone will invent those games, invent those rituals, and create a system that's really, really interesting. And I think when you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Like I haven't seen it yet, but when I see it, I'll know what I've someone's made it, if that makes sense. But Red, were you were hanging out for a while? Any comments about any of this? Are you there?
Oh yeah, dude. I originally joined up here when you mentioned something about Zephyr Pay. I kind of perked my ears because I was actually recently looking to try and acquire a new bike, like a new motorcycle, with some Monero, and you mentioned Zephyr Pay, and it sounded like an interesting solution for a problem I have.
Yeah, I think Well, Zephyr Pay was like something that a community was creating, I believe. And the idea is like you'd be able to quickly implement something onto a website where if you wanted to buy something and do so without revealing your whole wallet contacts, you could basically do that. Pretty much any e-commerce type style site, you'd be able to add it I'm not sure how popular it's going to be or whatever, but it's an interesting thing to be able to create. I think those kind of things initially, like, you'll be like, the type of companies that will accept those type of things will typically be like, oh, here's your Zephyr t-shirt or whatever. So initially what will happen is it'll just be like some sort of products dedicated to hardcore fans of that liquidity. Because, like, you know, you're not going to get like grandma to come buy your, you know, buy vegetable at the supermarket using, you know, Zephyr stable dollars like anytime soon, right? Like, that's not who your target audience is. Your target audience is people who like own a crypto wallet, own that particular coin, and for some reason would want to buy something with it. The other target audience would be someone who values their privacy. And you know, the vendor of that website, like, they believe that a person will literally go and learn how to use a system, go get a wallet, go get themselves some Zephyr tokens, whatever, and will actually use that as money. What we've found in crypto so far over the last 20 years or whatever is we have not found that there's a strong product market fit for people who are willing to like figure out how to use a new currency to go pay for shit. Like, even most crypto natives don't pay for anything in crypto. So, and even when the opportunity arises that you could, a lot of people are like, fuck it, I'm just gonna use my credit card, right? Like, so I think like something like a Zephyr Pay would be interesting, but really to sell people stuff that specifically requires privacy, I think would be the first potential place for that. In fact, if anything, like, an obvious place where people might want to use something like that might be like, you know, the porn industry or something. Like, I don't know, fuck, like, maybe what do they have these days? Subscriptions or some shit, OnlyFans, whatever. Like, let's say you want to do that in private for some reason. I can understand why people would want to do that. But like, historically, in the last 30 years, it was oftentimes the porn industry that actually picked up a lot of the new developments, like DVD, I remember, Blu-ray discs, whatever. Like, a lot of the video industry was originally like adopted by porn before it was adopted by like the normies or the rest of the mainstream or whatever. And that's probably true of like certain crypto elements as well, especially like on the privacy side. I can see that being something that you know, people that care for that sort of thing would want. But anyway,
don't forget the demand for high-speed internet.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, the porn industry, like,
oh yeah, like, that. Bootstrap that for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Even today, like 50% of the internet's porn.
I just wanted to come on and tell you, I've been sharing this around because of you guys, because of you, Seppy and Coach, to my crypto guys that I've been attached to since 2017. They're very excited about this project, man. And we talk about projects all the time. And the minute I put this across their desk, they were pretty fucking stoked about it. And that doesn't happen. So I'm pretty stoked about, I have high hopes for this project. I was digging around YouTube.
We've only been involved for like, what, a couple of weeks, and we're pretty impressed. Yeah. So,
well, I was digging around on YouTube, seeing anything and everything I could find. And I started laughing my ass off because I was watching this one guy. He seemed very intuitive on crypto in general. And then he drops a quote from Coach Bruce and puts it on his YouTube video. And I'm like, I know that guy. I'm one of his minions. Yeah. It was awesome, man.
That's cool. Yeah,
I think he even dropped your name too, but he pronounced it differently than I do. But yeah, it was funny. I'm glad to see. I'm glad to be friends with the front runners of an innovative new project. I'm stoked.
Yeah, I'm glad someone invented this or created the concept of it. It's really cool. I'm enjoying playing in the wallet and stuff and like you know, buying the dip on this thing, and just I like the, you know me, I'm in it for the game. I love the sort of like game element of crypto. I like number go up, I like number go down, I like doing different shit with it and just playing around. To me, it's just a gigantic game.
Seffy, did you mine XMR at all before you? Actually, do you mine Zeph at all? I'm not sure, but
yeah, I just started mining Zeph today.
Oh, nice!
I got my rig working. It's the same XM rig that you use for Monero. The software is the same. So it's like you just tie it to Zeph Wallen's dead, basically.
Have you ever used Monero previously, like before learning about Zeph?
No, I know what it is, and I've like owned it from time to time, but I've not used it for anything. Yeah, I mean, like, I think the reason I haven't used it is like, for me, I like store of value assets, and I like to be able to go from a store of value to a stablecoin asset in my wallet without friction, and ideally in a decentralized way, and ideally, even more ideal, would be a private way. So, like, whatever Luna UST did for me in terms of utility, this does for me, like, you could square that utility. Because, like, even in Luna UST, most of what I did was just hold Luna. I was not that interested in, like too many of the DeFi games and stuff. I played a little bit with them, but, like, it's just whatever to me. For me, it was like, I'd like an asset that tends to go up in value, and I like to hold that. And this sort of fits that bill to me, where there's a bit of a flywheel effect, where the stablecoin is printed as a digital native product of the asset, which is Zephyr. And then, like, you can go back and forth in your wallet with this thing. And that, to me, is by itself, like, beautiful. You don't need anything else. So, like, this does everything except that, like, it doesn't have a death spiral issue like Luna UST did. Because it's like, number one, it's over collateralized, but two, there's no mint burn mechanism. So it's like a quasi stable coin you're producing. It's not like, it's not going to be exactly a dollar at any given moment until it gets way bigger. But so what, like, plus or minus a little bit, it's not a big deal. It achieves most of the goals that I need it to do already, which is pretty damn cool. So I like to be like, the privacy for me helps me to go back and forth between the stable and unstable as many times I feel like it. Whenever I feel like it, for whatever reason, without explaining to anybody, right? That's really good.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think, well, it seems like privacy is becoming a little bit more appreciated or getting a little bit more visibility in the public eye. And at least right now, looking at XMR and Bitcoin's historical performance, XMR looks like personally, from my standpoint, it looks like a really, really good buy right now.
The XMR chart overall looks good, but then again, so does everything right now. Yeah. Like, everything's kind of trickling upwards and looking acceptable. But, like, yeah, you're right. XMR, like, has put in higher lows, you know, every cycle. It just hasn't put in higher highs. And I think part of the thing, too, is, like, privacy generally is not very appreciated by most people. It just isn't. The ox has snorted for some reason.
I gotta go and do a business call.
Yeah, he has to go. I knew that was gonna happen.
Actually, I need to do the same thing. I need to get sleep. It's getting
late. All right, good night.
But yeah, it's been good chatting with you guys. Hopefully you learned something about Zephyr or whatever.
Oh, for sure. Likewise. Thank you, Zephy. Thank you, Coach. Thank you, Grin. Yep. Slinks, MP3, Red Eye.
Have a good night, dorks and nerds. Nice.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payment. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works.
next, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage, like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible, when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality, stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.